He is one of America's prominent sports commentators and columnists,
known for his fearless opinions and passionate dialogue.
I know, it's sad, but the best sports conversation has absolutely nothing to do with sports.
He has perfected the Daily Sports Podcast, having produced hundreds of topical, credible shows without even a hint of fake news.
No filters, no mute buttons, no BS, just me and whatever the hell I feel like talking about.
He has done 1,700 TV shows, written 8,000 columns, broadcast hundreds of talk shows, published a book.
He has covered every major sports event nationally and worldwide.
And yet, we still can't shut him up.
The ceiling is the roof.
And now from Los Angeles, inside his studio by the Pacific Ocean,
where he plans on hanging out with a beer immediately after this podcast is recorded.
Oh, man.
Here he is, Jay Mariotti.
The show is unmuted. I'm Jay in Los Angeles, and it figures amid the madness of 2019 America that the Golden State Warriors might be remembered as much for their internal chaos as their dominance. This super team simply cannot enjoy dynastic prosperity, and it does not take a lip reader to realize that Steve Kerr has been so freaking tired of Draymond Green for a very long time. But when you do see that video clip of Kerr in the final minutes of another embarrassing home loss, this one to Phoenix, and he appears to be telling assistant coach Mike Brown that he's indeed, quote, so freaking tired of Draymond, unquote, you realize this team truly might be in need of some sort of a breakup. And if anybody is going to leave, the number one weed out candidate should be Draymond Green, because we're all freaking sick of him.
All you need to know about sports today in 15 minutes, or maybe 18, you know, depending on the Warriors, the Steelers, Trump, and the LeBron James Media Network.
For a powerhouse trying to win its fourth NBA title in 5 years, there's way too much angst and turmoil in Warriors land. The Jordan Bulls had internal issues, but that was a constant battle between Michael, Scottie Pippen, and Phil Jackson against an envious front office that wanted to break up the Jordan dynasty and start its own dynasty. The Warriors are dealing with 21st century issues, the growing possibility of Kevin Durant leaving in free agency, a politically tense move from their gritty Oakland roots to stinking rich San Francisco, and the importance of selling insanely priced seats in that Chase Center. And now, in the last week, a team pushing back at Kerr when he lays into the players for bad home performances in what is supposed to be an emotional final season at Oracle Arena. Last week, Durant disagreeing with Kerr's comment that the team should play with anger, saying Kerr's mantra is supposed to be about joy. Now, we have Kerr's words about Green. I have always admired Kerr for biting his lip and constantly defending Green through all of his BS, from his tantrums to the night, you remember, when he swiped at LeBron's crown jewels and cost the Warriors a championship in what should have been a four-peat run. If Draymond doesn't get suspended and they win, they're looking at 5 titles in a row, as we've seen with his own sideline blowups. Finally, Kerr and basketball boss Bob Myers had to suspend Green after he excoriated Durant on the bench about his vague free agency status, an incident that continues, face it, to hang over this entire situation. So what was this latest mess about? You saw an animated Green on the bench, so something was up. Kerr is an honest guy. Here was Kerr a day later.
Did you have a conversation with Draymond at all about that clip that surfaced last night?
That's private.
What, I mean, did you say what it seemed to indicate or people believe you said?
No. The lip readers were wrong. What I said was, I beg to differ with Draymond's approach tonight. Those were my exact words. I don't know how somebody misconstrued that. I mean, it's 2019, it's, you know, George Orwell was right. He just had the year wrong. He wrote 1984, I think. The title should have been like 2012 or so. It's modern life. Everything's recorded. Everything is filmed. I've decided I'm now going to get a giant laminated board with all my play calls, and I'm going to turn into an NFL coach from here on out.
Well, you made that point on the radio the other day that it's hard for the players because of all this stuff.
It's a different world. It's a different world. So you just you got to figure out how to survive and thrive in the modern way of life. And one way of doing it is not really concerning yourself with stuff that doesn't matter.
Now, clearly Green no longer is the defensive stalwart he once was, and his shooting has been a disaster with his three-point percentage plummeting to 25% as teams leave him wide open while doubling on Steph Curry and Durant going into the playoffs. That's a major factor because that helps teams in defending the Curry three-point onslaught when they can leave Draymond wide open and say, "Hit it, dude. You can't find San Francisco Bay from Oracle Arena." And he'll just shoot and clank it. And he's not the defensive player he was. So why does everybody make excuses for Draymond Green? I think Sunday night was about Kerr saying, "I have had it with this guy." Because we would tolerate him when he was an all-star type player. He's not anymore. Which means, if it, say, were to come down to Durant or Green staying, and I don't think there's been enough discussion about that. Maybe Durant is so sick of Green that that's why he's holding out here with free agency to see what happens. He doesn't want to keep hanging around with this lunatic. So why don't the Warriors explore a Green trade in the offseason? Certainly before his free agency arrives in the summer of 2020 when Draymond might not even be worthy of a max deal, much less the $240 million supermax he has talked about. No chance of Draymond getting that. So why would you want to deal with an angry Green next season when he's thinking about money all the time, the money he's not going to get? You got to get him out of there. The Warriors do have Curry locked up with the new arena opening. Klay Thompson expected to re-sign this summer. But if they have any chance of keeping Durant, I think you tell Durant we're going to trade Green and maybe Durant re-signs. Because I know that Durant has no problem with Curry or Thompson, right? I do their thinking for them. Indeed, the Warriors maintain a wobbly, unflattering suspense as they pursue a three-peat, continuing their maddening habit of lousy performances at home. Durant also suffering an ankle contusion in that loss. And while he will be fine, it's just one more KD drama entering a postseason that still could be his last with Golden State. And did you see this, of all people, the normally carefree Thompson calling out the fans at Oracle for not bringing enough energy to the games? He's right about one thing. It's sort of like Hollywood people here in L.A. These Silicon Valley millionaires, even billionaires, they sit there. They don't care about the regular season. Some of them don't show up. Eddie Q from Apple. Eddie Q at Oracle is Jack Nicholson at Staples, except Jack is still into it in his 70s. Eddie Q, one of their big engineers, you know, he's the one who high-fived Steph a few years ago in the finals. Well, Eddie Q, I don't even know if he goes to the games. So Klay is calling out the fans saying, "Why are you so bored with us?" I don't know, Klay. I love Klay Thompson, but what I would tell him is you can't criticize the fans when your team is dumping these games to bad opponents. The players have to inspire the fans, not the other way around. Here was Thompson.
"We've been playing a lot of basketball for 5 years now, so you're not going to be perfect for 82 games. We've had too many missteps, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's the first time I lost that team in 19 games, so it's ugly, but and I expect our crowd to be a little more into it, too. Like, I know it's not the playoffs, but it is our last go-around at Oracle. At least you can stand up if someone make a good play, especially in the beginning. We need that energy, especially this time of year. It's hard to conjure up energy every single night because you're looking forward to the playoffs and that run. So we expect our fans to kind of, you know, bring that from the jump. You can't, I mean, it's like us, though. You can't bring it every night, but still, it helps when it doesn't matter if we're playing the Suns or the well, the Bucks, whoever it is, we need that energy from them because we feed off that.
Maybe the fans are trying to tell the Warriors that we're not that into you anymore, at least until the postseason. The fans do see the limp body language of the players, and they act accordingly in the stands. I mean, how spoiled is this entire Warriors culture? The postseason cannot get here soon enough. And despite the clutter in the madness, I still say Golden State, my favorite in the West. On that topic, by the way, file this away for future purposes. Both Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith saying on TNT that the Warriors will not reach the NBA Finals. So who will get there out of the West? Here was Charles. Here was Kenny.
Put it on the board. The Portland Trail Blazers are going to the finals.
The finals.
Wow. The NBA Finals.
Portland, huh? First of all, a Mariotti aside, TNT's ratings are way down. You're going to hear more of this outlandish stuff from Charles more than usual in the playoffs because the ratings are down. Funny, when I was on ESPN, our ratings always went up every quarter for 8 years. I never had a down period. They just kept going up. Now, since I left around the horn, down, 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 down. I know it's a different world now. Habits have changed. People are cutting their cords. I get that. But to drop as much as TNT, even Adam Silver last week said, we've got some issues with our ratings. Because, face it, when the Warriors are laying eggs and playing like dogs in the regular season, other teams do it. The Celtics have been up and down. Fans go, you're not really into it, guys, so why should I be into it? Anyway, you'll be seeing a lot more of this from Chuck Barkley. I understand Portland is on the rise with Yusef Nurkic providing a rugged, trash-talking presence inside. You've got now Enes Kanter inside, complementing the dazzling, still unsung Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. But until the Blazers stop laying their own playoff eggs, as they always do, I'm going to be throwing eggs at Chuck and Kenny. I say the Rockets, with Chris Paul healthy at the moment, playing great, remain Golden State's biggest threat. And they play, by the way, Wednesday in Houston. Warriors, Rockets. Denver, OKC, Portland, just below Houston. In the meantime, we wait to see if the Warriors do implode or, much more likely, as we've seen so many times before, somehow survive and even thrive through their dissension once again. And somewhere, a man with very bad hair, orange hair, in the White House is kind of laughing about this. Maybe he will even reach for Twitter, Donald Trump, and rip the Warriors. And much as we love the tingling experience of an Antonio Brown highlight reel, I would be pumping the brakes on any giddiness about his trade to the still Oakland, soon to be Vegas Raiders. Yes, Brown got the guarantee he wanted, $30 million with a potential of $54 million. Yes, he succeeded in winning, controlling his situation, and forcing his way out of Pittsburgh to this new deal, meaning he beat the NFL in a labor game the way these NBA stars have maneuvered their own deals. And yes, he's away from the Steelers and the quarterback he compared to an owner, Ben Roethlisberger. But still, Brown, who proudly posted a superimposed photo of himself in a Raiders uniform about 2 seconds after the deal was announced, hasn't done his homework about a franchise in complete disarray under John Gruden, who traded away two gems in Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and then brings in a knucklehead like Antonio Brown. This is doomed to be a frustrating experience for a guy who doesn't realize how good he had it with Big Ben and the Steelers offense. First of all, he's going to realize Derek Carr is not Roethlisberger. Two, while the Raiders have stolen offensive tackle Trent Brown from the Patriots, this just happening minutes ago, with $36 million in guarantees, the Oakland O-line is not the Pittsburgh O-line, meaning Carr will get beat up, as he always does, and he might be limited in any deep passing game. And three, the receiving core around Brown is limited, with Jordy Nelson no longer a deep threat Martavis Bryant indefinitely suspended, and no quality tight end signed at the moment. So what's going to happen? Defenses will smother Brown and limit his explosiveness. And when Carr inevitably makes mistakes, Brown will discombobulate amid his trouble-making ways. He'll complain about Carr. He'll throw more tantrums in Oakland. And remember the final season? These poor Oakland people. Final season for the Warriors. Final season for the Raiders, assuming they get that deal done at the Coliseum for one more year. Brown's going to be thrust into this madness. Pittsburgh, very stable. Brown and Le'Veon Bell didn't make it very stable. Mike Tomlin never controlled them. But compared to what he's about to face in Oakland with moving vans outside in a decrepit stadium, he's going to go, damn, Pittsburgh was a pretty nice town. Where did I go? He has no idea what he's getting himself into here. Now, John Gruden was fortunate only to give up third and fifth round picks, keeping all three of his 2019 first rounders, and now he picks up Trent Brown. But this remains a rebuild, and Brown, who is accustomed to annual contending teams with the Steelers, will not be dealing well with a 6-10 record, 7-9 at best. As for the Steelers, without these soap operas of Brown and Bell, I think they're going to benefit from having some sanity for a while. I truly believe that. Yes, these are two game-breaking marvels, but they're assholes. Sorry, you got to get them out of there. And the Steelers did gamble through the years on Brown and Bell, but they failed. And they now have only a huge hole under their salary cap and a few middling draft picks to show for it, which is an indictment of Tomlin and management for allowing this bad behavior from these two players and not controlling them. But at least the Steelers finally realizing it was time to bail on both drama kings. And the Steelers' gain is the Raiders' loss. David Irving loves to play football, but he also loves to get high. So rather than obey his third NFL suspension for substance abuse, Irving quit the Dallas Cowboys, blistering the NFL for what he believes is hypocrisy about drugs. Said Irving, I'm quoting, "It's bullshit how I have Xanax bars and hydros right next to me to take, given to me by the NFL, of course. However, we can't smoke the same weed the staff itself smokes," end quote, Irving. Staff? What, the NFL staff? Roger Goodell? What, who are you talking about, the Cowboys? Jerry Jones? Whoa. In a subsequent interview with TMZ, Irving said he doesn't care about his critics.
What's been the reaction when you hear like a guy who's 25 who's so talented on the football field like you are, and it just shocked people? What has been the reaction from everybody?
High or low. There's nothing in the middle. It's either I really support you, that was great, that was great. You know, I'm behind you, always a fan. And then there's the F yous, F your grandmas, you're a waste of talent. But I don't do it for those people. I'm not worried about those people.
In one sense, Irving is correct about weed being less dangerous than the pill popping long associated with the league. And he's also right about this. Of the, get this, 123 major pro sports teams in North America, 82% are located in places where it is legal to purchase either medicinal or recreational marijuana. Still, you know my feeling on this. If the NFL softens its stance on weed, it runs the risk of players being stoned all the time during games, during practices, which does not make for optimum competitive conditions. Yes, I agree. It's much easier on the body and the mind to use medicinal weed than to pour these pills down your throat and then become addicted to opioids. I get that. The problem is there aren't enough responsible players who will just stick to the medicinal part and they'll be high all the time. And that's no good for anybody. And that's why Goodell keeps pushing back. So if Irving would rather get stoned than make Mega Millions, it is his life. And you realize the importance of quarterbacking when mediocre veterans keep getting starting jobs, with Case Keenum traded to Washington after his failed cameo in Denver. Keenum had, what, one nice season in Minnesota capped by a playoff miracle, but his arm strength always has been an issue. The Redskins hoping he's a stopgap while Alex Smith recovers from that too hideous to watch broken leg. But I have news for owner Dan Snyder. Smith is not coming back. He's got to take care of his life, his family. You can't come back and risk another concussion. He's had many concussions. You don't break that leg again. Now we'll see if Broncos boss John Elway, the Hall of Fame quarterback who has whiffed in finding a decent quarterback, drafts yet another young prospect, Missouri's Drew Lock, while Joe Flacco fills in the epitome of mediocrity, Joe Flacco. The potential prize to pursue, I'm surprised Elway hasn't thought about this, is Josh Rosen, who quietly has been made available with the Cardinals almost certain to draft Kyler Murray with the top overall pick, despite the protests of grumpy Charlie Casserly. You know, Casserly is the one who took apart, eviscerated Murray last week, his character, his work habits. That was like yelling into the ocean. No echo came back. All I heard were people like Todd McShay, respected people, ripping Casserly for being irresponsible. Where did Casserly get his information, and why is the NFL Network not investigating Casserly? I feel real confident, yeah, sure I do, about the youth of America. Did you see these stupid kids at LSU who evidently prefer to cheat and pay basketball players like everybody else in the filthy world of college hoops instead of trying to win with a clean program? Will Wade became the latest coach heard on an FBI wiretap offering money to a player, with Wade reportedly saying on the recording that he made a, quote, strong-ass offer, unquote, to phenom Javonte Smart, as Smart was committing to LSU last year. Very wisely, over the weekend, LSU AD Joe Aleva suspended Wade, and he isn't allowing Smart to play amid an internal probe. Yet the LSU students are angry, damn it, concerned that no Wade and no Smart will weaken LSU's tournament hopes after winning the SEC regular season title for the first time in over a decade. So when Aleva entered the arena the other night, the students pummeled him with obscene chants and other abuse. They even harmonized with the band on that O-E-O song, whatever that is, something about Aleva, Aleva sucks. Wow, clever. So they want their school to cheat, which means they'll grow up to become typical Louisiana crooks and scoundrels, and they'll all be going to prison one day. My question is, was that generalizing, by the way? Sorry. My question is, who isn't cheating in college hoops? Should we just assume everybody is cheating and be pleasantly surprised when somebody isn't cheating? Arizona's Sean Miller also allegedly heard on an FBI wiretap discussing a $100,000 payment to DeAndre Ayton, seemed to be saying goodbye the other night to the home fans in Arizona. Notice how they also cheered Miller during the speech. Just what the hell is going on in this country? And how many FBI wiretaps are out there? And do they happen to, I don't know, hook into some phone lines and recordings in places like, I don't know, Chapel Hill, Durham, Spokane, Washington for a few, East Lansing, you want me to keep going? Ann Arbor. Why are there only wiretaps here? Why aren't we wiretapping everybody?
There's no place this more matching than the Kale Center. There's no fans in the world that are more loyal. And it has been an amazing honor to coach in the Kale Center for the last 10 years. Thank you for everything.
Also count former North Carolina State coach Mark Gottfried among the accused as the first head coach directly connected to making impermissible payments to players, while, as I've told you, Kansas coach Bill Self, an Adidas lawyer, said during the trial that Bill Self knew that payments were going to players. So how is Bill Self still on the sideline? If Kansas has any academic integrity, they'll yank his ass out of March Madness. But they think Bill Self might get them a lot of money. Why is Kansas even in March? Don't get me started. Self shouldn't be there. Kansas shouldn't be there. Yet the NCAA, you know, we'll wait until the summertime. Yeah, right. With the NCAA tournament, which brings in $1 billion a year in TV money alone, about to start, yes, of course, players deserve some form of compensation beyond the established norm. But as long as the rules prohibit illicit payoffs, then any participating coach, agent, and shoe company rep is filthy and corrupt in my book. And how about the networks that televise the tournament, CBS and Turner? They had better legitimately cover this massive FBI investigation and the trials, though I doubt they will because the networks are complicit partners in these crimes. Do you really think they're going to say when the brackets come up on Sunday, and they are going back to brackets, they're not going to do the alphabetical order, thank God. And then Greg Gumbel says, Kansas, the number 4 seed with Coach Bill Self, who shouldn't be there because he's a scumbag. No, it'll be in Kansas making its 20,000th appearance in the NCAA tournament. CBS complicit. It's just all going to be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Am I cynical or just a realist? I'm real. I don't think they should be cheating. They all do. Nobody cares but me. I think people care. A federal judge did rule last Friday that college basketball and football players will have more room in the future to receive added compensation, but only as, quote, related to education, unquote, which means a few bucks here and there, and that certainly doesn't eliminate the NCAA's cap on compensation. Now, thoughtful fans might protest all the scummery by not watching the tournament, but with so much gambling going on this month, well into the billions, you realize no boycott is happening. People are getting ready to gamble. So how about this over-under wager? How many of the 68 NCAA tournament coaches openly cheat via payoffs? And just the other day, we had TCU and Creighton added to this lengthy mix. I mean, how many of those names of the 68 in the brackets are going to be smeared by this investigation? I'm guessing 8, 9, 10 off the top of my head, and then there are others we don't know about yet. And remember, April, we've got another trial. Sean Miller has been subpoenaed, and Will Wade has been subpoenaed, and I wonder why, and how many more. And as I said, why does the NCAA openly allow these programs, even disgraced Louisville, to participate in this tournament when the administration at Louisville surely knew of the sleaze going down during the Rick Pitino era? But then when Pitino got caught, they blamed it on him, made him the scapegoat, and they said, oh, we're clean here. And last I looked, America remained a land of free speech, except during New York Knicks games at Madison Square Garden, which is a police state, right? The dictator is James Dolan, one of the worst owners in pro sports history, who continues to eject anybody critical of his reign from that famous arena. Here was the latest embarrassing episode for Dolan as he departed the garden floor through a tunnel and then noticed a fan getting on him, and then Dolan ordering a security guard, some Paul Blart type, to toss the fan.
Sell the team!
Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's rude.
It's an opinion.
Yeah, no, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
Him, Black. Bring up, yeah, him, hold him for Kevin. Hold him for Kevin. Hold him for Kevin.
If a man worth almost $2 billion cannot ignore the inevitable noise in the country's largest market when he continually has sabotaged the Knicks with abject mismanagement, then yes, please, sell the team, Dolan. The good news is that Dolan cannot eject me from this podcast. well, wait a minute, who's that? Why is this cop coming after me? Who's yelling at me? Who's that? Who's pointing at me? Why are these security cops coming into my studio? Is that you, Dolan? And I've seen too many mood swings from the Celtics to think one cross-country flight, complete with dice games and card games and Kyrie Irving playing DJ, suddenly cured that team's toxic personality clashes. But as the postseason nears, the Celtics are happier, at least for now, and it appears they're going to avoid Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs, more likely getting the gritty but beatable Indiana Pacers. The Celtics have been impressive out here in California. They blew out the Warriors, and they swept through the Kings and the Lakers, but this team could go sour at any time, depending on the megalomania of Kyrie. Since Charles Barkley ripped Irving for being a miserable prima donna, Irving has stopped sulking, and he has started to lead. I guess some of these NBA stars are like children. Once the adults scold them, they behave. Not that Charles is an adult. The playoffs cannot come soon enough, as I said earlier. And no, I do not agree with Barkley that LeBron James, out of the playoffs for the first time since 2005, should join the TNT crew. Please, no, I'm not alone in saying I'm dealing with considerable LeBron fatigue. I can't deal with him anymore. I'd like him to disappear from sight, please. No production company content. No social media ramblings. Stay out of my Brentwood pizza place, John and Vinny's. Do not go there, LeBron. We don't want to see you until next season. Certainly no TNT. No, no, no. But you know why Charles said that? TNT ratings way down. Have I said this before? If I said, I'm going to say it again. TNT ratings way down. When I did Around the Horn and ESPN, our ratings were up, 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 up every quarter. I never had a rating slump. Did I say that before? I'm sorry. A Mariotti aside. But you're going to, like I said, you're going to hear Barkley say, where's LeBron? Come on in. No, and LeBron will say, you pay me $10 million and I'll be down there. But I also have to do five Turner sports documentaries or documentaries about social issues. Oh, sure, LeBron, we'll give you 15. Okay, I'll be down. And then we got to deal with him again in all his documentaries. No, 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 no. Please, that's not happening. With nothing to do now that his minutes have been restricted as the Lakers shut down Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, you can count on LeBron at the moment to be sharpening up that butcher knife and ramming it in Coach Luke Walton's back when he's not looking. He'll get Luke fired. Luke is gone. Everybody knows that. It's just who replaces him, not Jason Kidd. It can't be Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has been fired twice. He's a troublemaker. And it can't be Ty Lue, and it can't be Mark Jackson. So before you fire Luke Walton, you better have an idea who's going to coach the team, right? And then, of course, LeBron will be continuing his tampering tactics with his agent buddy Rich Paul to try to pull off that Anthony Davis trade again. Ingram has a serious blood clot issue that's going to affect trading him to New Orleans. New Orleans will have a new GM in the summer, but other than Kuzma, who do you want? They need a star. Nobody in that group the Lakers was offering is a star. Kuzma is a one-way player. They're not getting Anthony Davis. My guess is the LeBron will try to get involved with Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, and I think he'll go 0-for-3. Whiff, 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 you have struck out. And he'll have to be stuck with the same young nucleus, along with a completely different mix of veterans. And once again, LeBron will be hard-pressed to make the playoffs next season in the West. Did you see this? Jeff Van Gundy, normally spot on as an ESPN analyst, kind of lost his marbles the other day, suggesting the Lakers trade LeBron to the Clippers. Listen to partner Mark Jackson, who, as I said, is an outside candidate to replace Walton. I never agree with Mark Jackson. I always agree with Van Gundy. But this time, listen to Jackson jump on Van Gundy, and rightfully so.
This roster, right? And to me, it could be a trade with, you know, for an Anthony Davis, or I think they need to explore trading LeBron
for getting as much as they can.
What are you doing? Seriously. No, seriously, what are you doing?
No, you got to get on the right timeline. If I could trade him for the Clippers into cap space, which would give me a better chance to get Durant or Kawhi Leonard, would I not do that?
Okay, LeBron James is not getting traded, okay?
You got to put everything on the
table. No, you can't.
I guess in theory, Jeff is right. If the big stars don't want to play with James, get rid of him and bring in Durant and Leonard. It's never going to be that easy. Jeff is assuming that trading LeBron to the Clippers would be simple. Jeff, the Clippers love the way they've retooled their franchise wisely and quickly, and they frankly don't want LeBron injury-prone, going on 35, playing his locker room politics. They don't want him. They want Kawhi. They're going to take a crack at Durant. They are building a culture that is much better than the Lakers. They're going to get an arena approved in Inglewood. And the Lakers are going to stumble and bumble with an old, aging, angry, movie-making LeBron James. And even if the Lakers did trade James to the Clippers, who says Durant and Kawhi want to play for the buffoonish Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss, who thankfully is starting to be criticized? I thought she was sacred in this town. Oh, don't touch Jeannie. Finally, people are figuring out since she took over, this franchise has been a train wreck. And then they signed LeBron James, and it's still a train wreck. Wasn't that the name of his movie, Train Wreck? Something like that. Man, I am doing a lot of Mariotti asides here. Let me wrap this up. Before we start ignoring James, let's play one last piece of audio of LeBron throwing his Lakers teammates under the ready now, the proverbial bus. And it's one of those large, big-ass buses that LeBron throws people under.
It's challenging, but, you know, I kind of knew what I was getting myself into. You know, but nobody, I didn't expect to be out 5.5 weeks at a crucial point in our season. We also didn't expect, you know, our other brain of the team, Rajon Rondo, to be out another 5.5 weeks. We both got hurt at the same time, and I think it just took a hit on our team, you know, at that point in time, which was a critical part going into the new year. So, but other than that, I think our young guys are very pure. They love to play the game. It's just some things that they have to continue to learn, and we have to continue to be patient with them while they learn it and take their bumps and bruises.
Now it's time for the buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, you are a lip reader. I know it. What was Steve Kerr saying, and what does it mean for the immediate and far-reaching future of the Warriors?
Jay, I believe Steve Kerr was saying, I'm so freaking, except he didn't say freaking, tired of Draymond. Not Draymond Green, so maybe he was talking about a different Draymond. I don't know. I think if the Warriors win the championship, I think we'll all forget about this little thing. But if they don't, and Draymond acts up during the playoffs and they're struggling, and a few technicals happen, ooh, we'll be talking about this. We'll be pulling up that audio of Steve Kerr saying it's no big deal. But aren't we all sometimes a little freaking tired of Draymond anyway?
And Chris, how will the Antonio Brown experiment work out with the Raiders? You know how I feel. He may have received his $30 million in guarantees, but Brown is doomed to a losing existence. I mean, AB in Vegas for 2 seasons? Yikes.
But Jay, today in the NFL and in sports media, Mike Mayock, the new Raiders GM, who's never done this before, is a freaking genius. Not the same freaking, well, I guess it could be, that Steve Kerr used. He's a genius, Jay. He did it for a 3 and a 5, and he didn't give up a first-round pick, and everything's going to be okay until AB realizes that Derek Carr may not be that great at quarterbacking anymore. But that's why we'll stay tuned, Jay. That is why we will stay tuned.
And, Chris, you heard the LSU students heckling their athletic director for suspending a coach who reportedly was heard on a wiretap trying to make a, quote, strong-ass offer to a player. If you were a 20-year-old at LSU, Chris, and I'm sure you've harbored those fantasies, would you be with those students in hooting at the AD? Or would you, Chris, prefer that your coach try to play by the rules and not make strong-ass offers that are heard on wiretaps?
Well, unfortunately, Jay, LSU hasn't been competitive in basketball in quite some time. And in order to be competitive, I hate to break it to you and to everybody else, you're going to probably have to do what the others are doing, which might involve some illegal offers. that's just how it is. If you want to be in the Final Four, unless you're going to have a magical Cinderella year like we've seen at times, although there's no guarantee those smaller schools are clean, but you're probably going to have to get a little dirty with the Blue Bloods. And that's just how it goes. Is it right? No, it's not right. But is it the way it is? As Bruce Hornsby and the Range once said, Jay, that's just the way it is.
Okay, thanks, Chris, which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. Now, this one's easy. U.S. women's soccer players who have filed a gender discrimination lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation should not receive equal pay with the male players. No, they shouldn't. I think the women deserve more pay than the male players, much more, considering they have brought nothing but honor and pride to this country, while the men's soccer team is an ongoing debacle. Good news here. Tiger Woods apparently over his neck strain and will play this week at the Players' Championship. Still, to be taken seriously next month at Augusta, Tiger must putt better and play better. In his three starts this year, he finished tied for 20th, 15th, and 10th. At the moment, Phil Mickelson, pushing 50, has a better shot at another green jacket. But my Masters favorite, a month before they start, is Rory McIlroy. Even though he didn't close out Sunday in Orlando, I think he's due. I don't know, though. Rory is having these Sunday choke jobs. I'm going out the limb here and say he doesn't at Augusta. If he has another one, I will never pick him again. As an Auburn guy, Charles Barkley would probably like to throw eggs or maybe punches at Harvey Updike Jr., the Alabama fan who poisoned Toomer's oak trees, remember that, and did prison time, that being on the Auburn campus. Now that his probation has expired and he has paid $800,000 in restitution, can he afford that? Updike is allowed to speak to the media about his crime, and he said this the other day, quote, "I wanted Auburn people to hate me as much as I hate them. You know, there are several things in this world that I really and truly don't like, and Auburn is one of them," end quote. Are we sure this guy should have ever been released from prison? He's scary. And you know, I would be having an all-points bulletin anywhere near the Auburn, Alabama area because Harvey is coming back. He's frightening. I try to use this podcast to demand professionalism from younger media members, but I'm afraid it's a lost cause. ESPN's Dave McMenamin was a fine beat writer until he got caught in the vice grip of the LeBron vortex. Now Dave is a bobo for LeBron and the Lakers, actually going off on Stan Van Gundy the other day on the set when Stan was ripping Rajon Rondo, and rightfully so, for sitting and sulking several seats away from the Lakers bench last week. I'm sure Dave's boss, LeBron James, gave him an attaboy for that. Attaboy, Dave. Attaboy. I'll buy you lunch next week. And then Dave says, "No, put me in your next movie." Okay, Dave. And somebody tell Brian Hamilton of the Athletic website that Yahoo Sports is the competition. And when Brian refers to Yahoo Story on Will Wade, Hamilton shouldn't be hailing, quote, "our good friends at Yahoo Sports," unquote. They kicked your ass, Brian. They are not your friends, Brian. You're supposed to be breaking that story, Brian.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too white male for Jemele Hill. Take it away, Jay.
I've long derided baseball's powers that be for their arrogance and their greed. Now, I think they're just blind and ignorant. The sport that cracked down on the Black Sox fixing scandal 100 years ago, and the sport that continues to ban gambling man Pete Rose for life, is plunging headfirst now into a hypocritical pool by making legalized gambling its number one priority. It's disturbing enough that MLB is partnering up with MGM Resorts, one of the world's largest gaming operators, along with the seedy DraftKings Fantasy League. But now, to protect gamblers, I cannot believe this, MLB is mandating that managers submit their starting lineups to the commissioner's office a full 15 minutes before the lineups are posted in the dugout and announced to the media. Why? Because this way, MLB is catering to the gamblers. They are giving the bettors, new cash cows, these bettors, an easy, early way to get their bets in. What the hell kind of legal chaos has the so-called Commissioner Rob Manfred created here? What if a pitcher comes up lame during his pregame warm-up? What if a player falls ill and begs out of the lineup? The gamblers are going to be furious with MLB. There will be lawsuits. You're giving us false information. So what's Manfred going to do? Call, I don't know, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts and say, they're mad because you yanked Kershaw. And then Roberts says, well, Clayton had some arm soreness in the bullpen warm-up, so we had to use Ross Stripling. And then what does Manfred do? Yell at Dave Roberts? So what the hell is going on here? I mean, is the apocalypse truly upon us in sports? This happens all the time. Players in the clubhouse, I can't play. I'm sick. I'm hungover. You've got to, 2-3 hours before the game, give your lineup to a gambling site? Rob Manfred is out of his mind. I thought he was inept. Now he is a psycho. Manfred and the owners obviously prioritizing this gambling process over the sports competitive integrity. I knew baseball was desperate, but this smacks of dire straits. Meanwhile, Pete Rose nearing his 78th birthday, and he earns income only by doing autographing shows. I think I'm going to watch Eight Men Out, the Black Sox movie. This is the 100th year anniversary of that. I think Rob Manfred should be forced to be locked into his office and watch that movie, I don't know, 20 times. I think Pete Rose should call Rob Manfred and give him all kinds of crap. What are they thinking there? Are they that desperate for money? They just, 1 year, $3 million contract, Adam Jones. Yes, Bryce Harper got his money. Yes, Machado got his money. But the owners, now colluding again, are going to make sure everybody else who isn't a superstar is lowballed absurdly. And it's an $11 billion a year business, as Harper said last week. And yet they've got to pinch dollars out of this gambling madness. Oh, my God. You're lucky I'm still around, because nobody else would ever touch any of this. That's our show. For our producer and our editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never, ever let anybody mute you in life, and to lighten things up, here is James Dolan's band. Yes, he has a band. JD and the Straight Shot. Something I wish he'd do full time, just go singing. This is really bad. You think he's a bad basketball owner? Listen to this.
Ride, ride that slide. Close your eyes and just glide. Hold, hold on tight to the stream.